We're going to start these lectures by looking at meeting our students where they are. But before we do, let's chant together.
Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavedvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Meet them where they are. One of the most delightful things we can do for our students is to meet them where they are. This relates to both accepting and welcoming our students just as they are, and sequencing a class that builds from where they are in that moment into a more sattvic state. Many people come to yoga because they want to change something about themselves. They want to be thinner or stronger, more peaceful, more flexible, calmer, less stressed, less anxious, less depressed, or have more friends. Now, all of these can come from practicing yoga, and we know that change inevitably happens as a result of a dedicated yoga practice. But it's important as yoga teachers that we fully see and accept our students just as they are. This is such a gift to give somebody, and it's surprisingly rare and incredibly healing. It's important that we recognize our students' perfection and divine spark, not just as a nice slogan or hashtag, but fully and deeply see them in their wholeness and perfection. And when we do this, we offer our students something very special and possibly something very different to their other experiences in the world. We're all constantly bombarded with messages that we need to be something other than we already are. Advertising is built on the premise of finding people's pain points and then offering them a solution that will change this, i.e. the product or service. And our world is completely saturated with advertising. Even therapy is largely built on the idea that something is broken or wrong and needs an expert to fix it. As yoga teachers, and quite frankly as human beings, we need to be able to hold the paradox of being perfect just as we are, with at the same time the need for desire or growth. Both can be true. We can be inherently whole and perfect, and at the same time seek growth and change. And when we do this, we grow and change from a place of wholeness, not from a place of brokenness. And there is a world of difference. When I was apprenticing as a yoga teacher in London back in 2004, I practiced seeing the divine spark and wholeness in everyone on the tube on the way home from class. I would look at people on the tube who were always looking down and not returning my gaze or even realizing what I was doing. And I would silently say to them, Namaste, the divine light in me bows down and acknowledges the divine light in you. This helped me to quietly develop a way of seeing that saw the divine in everyone, whether they were dressed in the cloak of a rich businesswoman, the homeless man, the single mother, the whinging two-year-old, the elderly punk rocker, the studious teenager, or the yoga practitioner carrying her mat on the way home from class. It helped me to see beyond the roles they were playing in this lifetime and see their wholeness and perfection. Try it out. To me, it felt like a muscle. The more that I did it, the stronger the muscle became. Now, meeting our students where they are also applies to class sequencing. Later on, we're going to be talking about supporting our students to move from a rajasic or tamasic state to a sattvic state. But when we do, it's important that we begin by meeting them where they are. While sun salutations can reduce tamas and a long supported shavasana can reduce rajas, if you ask a person with a lot of tamas or depression to start the class with a dynamic sun salutation practice, or a person with a predominance of rajas or anxiety to start with a long restorative pose, they will likely find it very difficult and might give up or just never come back to your class again. I suggest meeting your students where they are and supporting them over the course of the class to gently come to a sattvic state. So for a class that is predominantly rajasic, you might start with a dynamic sun salutation practice and gradually slow the class down and finishing in a supported shavasana. Or for a class that is predominantly tamasic, you might start in a supported child's pose or supta baddha konasana and gradually make the class more and more active and invite the students to try sun salutations towards the end of the class. This is, of course, easier to do in a private class, but it's possible in a group class as well. Group classes are often a mixture of rajasic, tamasic, and sattvic energy. More about managing this later, but I have found that offering a balanced class with both calming and energizing practices can be helpful, with variations for each pose or practice that either reduce tamas or rajas. Thank you so much for joining me for this lecture. While I've been speaking about the importance of meeting your students where they are, you might like also to reflect on how you can meet yourself where you are too. Okay, I'll see you over in the next video.